Hey everyone, welcome to episode 35 of Siths and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
I'm alive, which is better than yesterday.
That is good. You were very sick yesterday, and we got delayed yet again. We've been delayed due to illnesses and traveling. You went from Galaxy's Edge to Canto Bite.
And then, essentially,
yeah, at least America's version of Canto Bite. But we're back, and we are all relatively healthy and recording. So we're continuing our series on the Skywalker saga, where we ask a question on how would the story turn out if we took one scenario and just changed it completely. So for Return of the Jedi, we are asking ourselves, what if Yoda had never told Luke that Leia was his sister? And by extension, what if Obi-Wan also never told Luke that Leia was his sister? This is one that, like, I feel like there can be so many consequences to it, but yet, like, there could be no consequences to it. Because, like, he would still go to Endor. He would still choose to leave Endor because I think ultimately that wasn't just to protect his sister, that was to protect, like, all of his friends, which, like, he cared about deeply.
Agreed.
So, like, but the big change is that on the Death Star, Vader can't sense that Luke has a sister and then use that against him. So, like, how does that affect his fight against Vader? Like, Luke never gets goaded into, like, that final confrontation with him, and he never, like, kind of, like, taps into, like, the dark side, or at least, like, embraces his anger as he's attacking Vader, and he never cuts off his hand, and then, like, it just, things kind of, like, could go awry for the Rebellion right there.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I feel like Vader would just somehow find a way to use Luke's, you know, his desire and want to protect his friends as a weight against him. Like, I think ultimately he would do the same thing. It just wouldn't be, oh, your sister. It would be, oh, your friends. Like,
yeah.
I still think the same thing would have happened. I don't think it would have changed that much. I really feel like him not knowing Leia as his sister would ultimately really have no consequences. Like, none.
We picked the best possible question for this podcast.
I mean, but, like, think about it. Like, the one thing that whenever we discuss these, I like to go online and just read what other people think in these types of scenarios.
Oh, and people have thought of this?
Yeah, pretty much every bit of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's, like, true. That was a stupid question on my part.
Picked over. We are hardly the first to come up with these type of questions. I hate to burst your bubble there, Casey. But the biggest thing that I find is everybody just automatically assumes, A, Luke and Leia would then become a thing, or B, that some horrible love triangle would ensue. And I just want to say, I am vehemently against
that
aspect of how Leia would end up with Luke, when she clearly, by the middle of Empire Strikes Back, was fully Team Han.
Well, plus, like, I really don't like that because they would still be brother and sister. Like,
yeah. Oh, also, and I'm sorry.
Like, this isn't Westeros. This isn't, like, acceptable.
This isn't Game of Thrones. Agreed. Also, Luke's gay.
You think so?
I fully believe Luke is. Let me rephrase it. I highly don't think that Luke Skywalker is a 100% straight male.
Okay, I'll go with not 100% straight, because, like, I mean, pre-Return of the Jedi, he definitely had the hots for his sister.
Oh, he definitely had the hots for his sister. There is denying that.
So, like, I'll agree that, like, he's at least, like, 50% straight, but, like,
there's a term for that. It's called bi.
Right.
No, I don't think he is a 100% straight dude. Apparently, if you go on the interwebs, there's people out there that ship him and Han Solo, and apparently there is tons of evidence for why it was a thing.
There's a ship for every character combination, but yes, I can
it's
see
true.
That. What would you call that?
I don't know. I didn't dig too deep into it because that kind of stuff scares me.
Hook? I don't know. You can combine Skywalker and Solo,
I'm
and it would just so it would
I'm
just be
laughing
Solo.
So hard, there's no sound.
I had a good shipping conversation at work. I just shipped everyone with Poe. Yeah.
I feel like every time I hear Poe, my brain instantaneously just pictures all of the Teletubbies and then Poe. Damn. Hanging out.
Everyone gets Poe. Finn Poe, Ray Poe, Kai Poe. Everyone gets a Poe. But no, I can see how, like, I think that you can probably, like, even make a case for Luke being asexual. And people have, like, someone, I can't remember who it was. I'll have to go back and find it. But someone writing for 1138.com made a wonderful, argued case for Rey being asexual and, like, her being, like, asexual representation in Star Wars. So, like, I can also see, like, Luke, like, maybe being that way, too. So,
I just think, for me, I know we've had the discussion about Rey. I feel like in the past, but when you see a subsect of fans or other people just in general, their reaction to like somebody asserting that, hey, maybe the hero of the movie isn't, you know, I don't want to say stereotypical, but like, this is a weird way to say it, and don't take this the wrong way, isn't normal. And I say that loosely because I'm someone who's gay, so like, but it's true. It's people who aren't, you know, typically your cishet, straight, and everything. Those are the people that are viewed as normal. So like, to find out that the hero, hey, might be different than you, and for it to be in you know, in sexuality. We see it in race. People got all up in arms over the fact that in the early marketing for The Force Awakens, it was painting it to look like Finn was going to be the Jedi. And you saw the outrage and the uprise over that. So I think...
Yeah, there's a disgusting reaction to that.
I think it's sad. And I think it's probably, you know, one of these things, like, one of my favorite things is the fact that despite everybody shipping Rey with Kylo Ren or Rey with Finn or Rey with Poe or whoever, is to date, she's not been a love interest at really in any point of this.
No, she hasn't.
She hasn't. I should rephrase it. She hasn't had a love interest.
Right.
Like, you know, we had the whole Finn thing briefly. But like beyond that, really, she has not been a major... She hasn't had a major love interest that's like driving the story or, you know, part of the reason why she's doing what she's doing. She's just Rey. And to me, that's so refreshing.
Mm. And I think that's why, I mean, not to bring it back around to like a white male character, but like, I think that that's why you can like compare her to like Luke in the original trilogy, because like Luke, other than like a couple of scenes where he kind of expressed like an interest in Leia, like didn't really have that either. Like Luke didn't really, I don't recall Luke ever expressing like an interest in like a love interest in the original trilogy. And like, they're very like comparable in that regard.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't think he really had one.
No.
I think, again, the only difference between him and Rey in that instance is where you saw where he had somebody that he was interested in, whereas with Rey, it was very much just...
She's never had that.
Yeah, Finn was interested in her, but we've never actually seen her be interested in anybody.
Right. Not even in like the supplemental material. Like there's like no book or like comic that I can think of where she's expressed an interest in someone.
That's so refreshing.
It is.
Not just because, you know, it's good to see any character like that, but you don't see it often with female characters, especially female leads, no matter what kind of movie it is. They're almost always tied somehow to a male love interest.
That's true. I can't think of a single genre film where you don't have like a female character who's, unless they're like the anti-hero, like Nebula in like the Marvel movies, like someone like that, like doesn't like
the villain.
They don't like quote unquote like get to have a love interest, but like other than like a character, other than like that archetype of a character, like everyone has to get paired with someone.
The only person I can think of is, and you can probably correct me if I'm wrong on this because you're going to be way more familiar with it, is I guess Elsa from Frozen.
That is true, I'm pretty sure. I've never watched the first like Frozen movie beginning to end. I'm pretty sure I've seen all of it like in snippets just like from my daughter watching it. But like in the second one, she definitely didn't have a love interest. Like
she didn't have one in the first one because I've had to watch it with my nieces.
Okay, she's never had a love interest. Like they've reserved that for Anna. She's like she's just like kind of focused on her and that's a refreshing thing.
I feel like, at least in the first Frozen movie, I guess you could make an argument that she was the anti-hero.
Because she was kind of like hiding her powers, like from her sister
and everyone
else. Yeah,
she was like the big bad. Everybody was against her until we all got flipped on that evil dude.
Right. And until I saw like the right scenes, like I actually thought she was the bad guy of the movie until the first time I saw the story from beginning to end, we took my daughter to see like a high school like musical of Frozen a couple weeks ago. Like that's the first time I saw like the story from beginning to end.
Did she like it?
She loved it. And it was incredible. Like the school we took it to, it was it's like a performing arts school.
And
and like those kids could sing. Like the girl that played Elsa, like she completely like killed Let It Go. Like it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like even like I think like the most infamous like probably example of this would be like Black Widow in Age of Ultron. Like they just had to pair her with Bruce Banner for some reason. Like it was
natural.
No, it wasn't natural.
Like you could have easily paired her to Captain America and Steve Rogers, and everybody would have known it wasn't going to work out because
they set that up. They set that up in the Winter Soldier.
Like, hard left to Bruce Banner. But it was so bad.
Like
so bad.
That's the thing. Like they just had to pair her with someone. So yeah, that's refreshing to see in like a character like Rey, the main character of the saga films. Like kudos.
Like it could have been so easy for them to pair her to someone.
Finn was right there. Finn was expressing it. I wonder how that would have gone if J.J. Abrams had done The Last Jedi. Because, like...
Yeah, that's true.
He kind of, like... He kind of laid the seeds for at least... At the very least, like, Finn having that interest in her that was, like, more than just, like, a friendship. And then, like, Rian Johnson, like, picked those up and, like, ran with, like, the friendship thread. But, like, if J.J. had done, like, Episode 8, I wonder, like, how that would have gone.
Which may be weird because he's one of the very more vocal supporters, along with John Boyega and
Oscar Isaac.
Yes, I was like, it's two first names. I don't remember what order they go in. But then they're kind of like one of the more vocal, I guess, supporters of the fanship of Finn and Poe. Like all three of them are like, yes, on board with it.
Maybe it'll actually happen.
Think he confirmed it does not. But according to him, there is representation for the LGBTQ in Rise of Skywalker that he went, just talked about. I think it was in a Vanity Fair interview he did. I think somebody brought up Finn and Poe, and I think that was his response, was like, no, they're not going to be it. And Tony was like, well, is there going to be any representation? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything about the movie. He laughed. He goes, but I did just say that there's going to be representation. So who knows what that means?
I hope there is. I'll believe it when I see it, though.
Yep.
JJ has promised things like that in the past and not followed through. So I hope there is. I'll believe it when I see it. So what?
Oh
Okay.
wait, can I tell you? Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
If we go back to the topic real quick,
That's what I was trying to do. Go ahead.
it's 'cause we got really off topic there for a hot minute.
We always do.
We do. But to go back to the topic, you know how I said that I do a little bit of Googling
Yes.
on the what if, and I did come across this minute and a half long video on YouTube titled, "What if Luke didn't find out that Leia is his sister, but it's stop motion Lego film?" But it's literally a minute long, if that, because the guy had really long opening and ending credits. But clip itself was rough, let me tell you. Basically, it has the metal scene at the end of A New Hope, and Luke's like, hey, we should go on a date. And Leia's like, yes. And then they're on a date, and Yoda and Obi-Wan are sitting there, and Yoda's like, tell him about his sister, I must. Now Obi-Wan's like, oh, just let them enjoy it. It's their first date. And then, like, it cuts to. I didn't know that they apparently make shirtless and Legos that can be shirtless with abs, as well as in their underwear. Luke sitting like in his under in under Lego Luke in underwear on a bed, and Leia over on the other side of the room going, oh, I think I'm pregnant and it's yours. And he's like, this is wonderful. And standing outside the room, like outside the window, is Yoda and Obi-Wan. And Yoda goes, too late, are we? Like, it's like, oh shit, we're too late. And just Obi-Wan just looks at him, and then it's done. But
That's amazing.
yeah, it was rough.
At that point, you just kind of have to never tell them ever. You just kind of
No.
have to let that one go.
Never mention it
The
again.
damage is done. Did you find any like family-friendly scenarios as you were Googling this question?
I actually did, and I hate it.
Okay.
Only because the guy who wrote it, so it's a article that I found on medium.com. Excuse me.
You okay?
Titled, Darth Leia, What Have Happened If Yoda Had His Way? And it's by some guy named Ambush Venn. And basically, he like talks about how it all kind of stems from the There Is Another short story in Star Wars from a certain point of view, where we, as we've discussed before, you know, Yoda doesn't want to train Luke, he wants to train Leia. Because he saw Luke as reckless and angry, and he thought Leia was, you know, I guess better suited to becoming a Jedi and not succumbing to the dark side. And this guy right off the bat goes like implies that Yoda must be high to think that Leia would be stronger against the dark side. He literally, and I quote, I can see why Palpatine was able to steal the galaxy right from under the Jedi's noses. Maybe they had a little something, something else under their noses too.
What?
Yeah, he goes, I could almost guarantee you that if Leia would have been trained in the ways of the Force, the Sith would not have died that day because Leia would have given in to the dark side. Think about it.
Think of one single solitary personality trait of Leia's that would have led to her falling to the dark side. Like, okay, what's the quote from The Phantom Menace? Is it fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to the dark side, right? Okay, so, yeah. Like, let's just, like, break that down. Like, Leia did not have fear for anything. Like,
she literally watched her planet. She's being tortured and held hostage by Darth Vader. He's threatening to blow up her planet, her home planet, if she doesn't give over the location of the rebel base. And she doesn't break.
Which leads me to the next part. She anger. So, like, she watches her planet get destroyed, and she doesn't... I mean, like, I'm sure, like, on some level, she's angry about that, and she's sad about that, but she doesn't let herself be consumed by the anger. And, like, as someone who is, like, Force-sensitive, even though she doesn't realize she's Force-sensitive, like, if she were...
That's huge.
Like, she would still, like, that, like, be, like, giving into that anger would have a devastating effect on her, and she doesn't. She does not give into that anger. She still remains, like, the cool, calm Leia that, like, we see throughout the entire original trilogy, and, like, that she, that anger never leads to hate. Like, sure, she... again, on some level, has, like, a hate for the Empire, just like everyone in the galaxy who's not part of the Empire has a hate for the Empire. But, like, she's not consumed by that hate. She doesn't let it overtake her. So, like, there's no way she would have fallen to the dark side. I mean, like, we said, I'm pretty sure it was on our last episode, we said, like, Leia is definitely Padme's daughter, and Luke is definitely Anakin's son. Like, that's...
100%.
Yeah.
I've never gotten so... Like, I've read a lot of stupid fan theories, fan arguments. And there's times where I'm like, this is stupid. But, like, this one actually made me mad. Because everything we know about her character is exactly why Yoda would have preferred to train her.
Yeah.
Nothing that even remotely contradicts that or would make anybody, I don't care, anybody think that she would be easier to succumb to the dark side than Luke. Mr. Oh, but I wanted to go to Tashi Station. Like, come on. That's just pure misogyny right there.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'm actually... I understand, like, why Yoda does it, why, like, Lucas had to, like, do it to advance the plot, but, like, I'm just kind of surprised that, like, Yoda, in a more realistic scenario, I don't think he would have told Luke that Leia was his sister, because, like, in, like, the context of that conversation, like, Luke is already saying he doesn't want to, like, confront Vader again, like, I don't think, would Yoda, like, really want to give Luke another, like, person to be attached to? Like, he's already, like, forming an attachment to Vader. Like, they, like, the Jedi think attachments are wrong. Like, would he really want to, like, do that?
Or I think maybe he was hoping to kind of nullify that attachment to Vader by
That's a good point.
Forming another one with somebody.
Or he's just like, please God, send me the Skywalker that I wanted to train this entire time.
Like, you, go die and screw up so the real one comes.
I love, like, someone on Twitter, I don't know, I don't think I pointed this out on the podcast, but, like, someone on Twitter recently, like, made an observation that, like, Luke asks Yoda if, like, Vader is his father, and, like, Yoda wants to get out of the conversation so badly he dies. Like...
Pretty much, literally.
That is commitment to, like, avoiding a tough topic.
Like, oh, no. I bam, like just instantly. No, I just, yeah, I don't think ultimately, I don't think Luke not finding out about Leia when he did or ever really changes a whole lot of anything with the story.
Not for Return of the Jedi, but like if he never finds out, it definitely.
Oh yeah, going forward it would change things.
Yeah, because he would not feel obligated to train Ben. In fact, like they would have no reason if Leia like never realizes that she's Force sensitive. Like there would be no reason.
Trained.
Yeah, there would be no reason for them to even think that like Ben's Force sensitive unless like he actually displays like some sort of Force powers, and even then, like, Luke may not feel obligated to actually train him as a Jedi. So, like, the First Order as we know it, like, wouldn't be around. Like, they'd be around, but it would just be, like, the First Order being led by Snoke. There'd be no Kylo Ren. In fact, without Luke agreeing to train Ben, there might actually be, like, Jedi trained by Luke around to fight the First Order. Like that ultimately
the Jedi Council could have been already have been a thing.
Yeah, like so like ultimately like not telling Luke that Leia was his sister may have ultimately saved the galaxy, assuming that like everything in Return of the Jedi played out the same way.
Things probably would have been much more smooth going forward.
Yeah, because this all goes back to it, like, there would have been one less, like, Skywalker guy to fuck it up for the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah, because, I mean, if Leia never knows, then Kylo Ren really, truly only ever is Ben Solo. He doesn't know he's the grandson of Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker.
I kind of contend that he doesn't even get trained by Luke if Luke doesn't realize that's his nephew.
I agree with that.
So there,
I agree with that.
We found consequences.
But I also don't think, I think it's, you know, nobody knows that Ben Solo is a descendant of Anakin Skywalker. He's never going to get singled out by Snoke.
That's also very true.
Even if he did get trained, there's no standout reason.
Snoke's not going for him, yeah. Well, but here's the other thing. Like, if he doesn't be burdened with being the grandson of Darth Vader, Han is probably not, like, I don't know if, like, Han is intimidated by Ben or what, but, like, Han might be a little more involved in his childhood than he was in the actual story.
Could be off base here, but I feel like it's not so much intimidation, but for me I always took it as Han feels like he has nothing in common with Ben.
That's a better way of
like
putting
he's
it.
He's not Force sensitive. He doesn't know anything about the Force or, you know, being a Jedi.
Yeah, kind of like, I mean, like how he says in The Force Awakens, like, if Luke couldn't reach him, what could I do? And like, it's like, you're his dad. Like, he's not burdened by, like, those doubts if he doesn't know that, like, he's the grandson of Darth Vader.
So we did find consequences. It just took us...
They're just not for the movie that we're actually discussing right now.
Yeah, they're for all of the following films.
Yeah. This was a short one. Do you have anything else for this discussion?
I mean, for that discussion, no, I don't think so.
Do you have anything else for Star Wars?
I flew United when I went to Vegas.
Okay.
And I didn't have one of the awesome Star Wars planes, which is disappointing. But, like, all of their airline marketing way, like, materials at their gates is all Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, so, like, that was cool to see.
Was there any Star Wars, like, marketing in Vegas at all?
No.
No?
I didn't see any, and to be honest, I'm actually not that surprised. And my friend that I went, one of the questions, we were walking through the casinos, and like there were slot machines for like various TV shows and movies. Like there was Breaking Bad, Lord of the Rings, Orange is the New Black, like just random big pulp culture. Oh, Game of Thrones was one. I remember she asked me, because I'm getting her to watch all of the Star Wars movies before Rise of Skywalker comes out. She turned to me and she goes, "Do you think there's any Star Wars slot machines?" And I said, "No." I remember her being like, "Why? Like, it's huge. I bet people would play." I was like, "Probably, you know, maybe the argument could have been yes, there were Star Wars. Like, I could have seen them having them in the past, but not since Disney bought it.
Yeah, that's if Disney like
I don't think Disney would ever allow for their stuff to be marketed like in that way.
no. Which is a
Because they
shame
can just
'cause like if
pick.
they ever wanted to make like a more like adult like themed like thing, like they could definitely do like
A
they could
Canto
build like
Bite stuff
Canto Bight like
Vegas.
in Vegas, yeah.
That would make a killing, I can promise you.
That would. They could even do like the horse tracks and like do like well, they do like horses because father years aren't real, but like they can do like a horse track and everything. Like, there's
They
like.
could easily, so like they have, you could do horse, like electronic horse racing in
Yeah.
the various casinos. Like they could legit do that with the,
The father years? What do you mean
yeah.
like electronic horse racing?
Like it's a, you know how like they're on, like I don't want to say sticks because they're not, but like they have giant mini track in the middle of the like the casino.
Okay.
And it has like miniature horses on it, and you can sit down around it and in on computers and bet on them. And then they run.
Okay.
I don't understand why people would do it to me. It
That just
seems
seems like a fix right there.
yeah. But they're quite popular. But like they could even easily do that.
I don't, yeah. I don't gamble.
If they did it, I
I'm
would
not
give
good.
them
I'm not
seats.
good at gambling. I don't know how to gamble, so like, that's why I've never been to a casino ever in my life. Because I would be a sucker. Like, I might as well just like go to a casino and just like hand them over my money.
Yeah, the only thing I ever like actually feel like I have a legitimate chance of winning anything is a roulette.
That so like American mobster Lucky Luciano once said that like that's the only thing that you should play in a casino. Man, this podcast is really going to different topics. But yeah, he said that like that is the only thing that you should play in a casino because like that's the only thing that you have like actual like decent odds at winning.
Yeah, I mean, most of the times that I've played roulette, I've either broke even or won.
Do you go to the slot machine? Do you go to the casino in Pittsburgh?
I've gone a few times, yes.
Okay.
I only play roulette and blackjack, though.
Okay.
Which is upsetting because when I was in Vegas, we only played slots and I hated it. Hate slots.
Oh, did you watch episode 5 of The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Okay, spoilers from like here on out if you haven't seen episode 5 of The Mandalorian. What a complete waste of Ming-Na Wen. Like,
Completely
I don't know if you watch,
disappointing.
I don't know if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not.
Off and on, I have, yes.
Okay, like I was super excited, but I really hope she's not dead. Like I'm holding out hope that she's not really dead, but like what a complete waste of like a great actress. Which by the way, fun fact, so like Ming-Na Wen and Dave Filoni, who directed that episode, they both went to Mount Lebanon High School.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were like 11 years apart, but like they both went to Mount Lebanon High School. So just,
That's wild.
yeah, her parents still own a restaurant in downtown Pittsburgh.
We
Yeah,
should go see.
we should. But yeah, I mean, like, other than that, I thought it was like an okay episode. I thought it was cool that they went back to the same cantina from A New Hope, and we saw, like, the guy sitting in the booth where Han killed Greedo. Like, that was neat. Like, it was, that like...
I like that little Easter egg.
I want to know where the droid-hating bartender is, and, like, how he feels about losing his job to a droid. Like, that was...
Imagine him sitting at the bar just bitching.
That was... Yeah, and that... I was a little... Were you surprised that they went back to Tatooine? Were you like...
I was, but I wasn't.
No.
In part because I know Dave Filoni said they did all of their filming on location.
Uh-huh.
So, like... Tatooine's an easy place for them to go to, so to speak.
Yeah. I was excited.
You don't have to have anything. And I think he... I think at the same time... It's a nostalgia callback. You're going to make people happy that you're going back there.
Oh, yeah. And that episode was, like, all nostalgia. Like, you've got the cantina. You've got the booth where Han killed Greedo. You've got the sand people. And, like, they reference, like, Beggar's Canyon. And you get, like, Mos Eisley and Mos Espa for the OT and prequel trilogy fans. Like, that was that. Yeah, that episode was just, like, nothing but, like, callbacks to older stuff.
And I kind of... disliked it for a lot of that reason.
I think that
I don't want to say four because it was nostalgic. That doesn't bother me at all. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I think just for the fact that it solely really had no purpose to move the story forward. And I know a lot of people felt that way about episode four. But I thought episode four, at least, you know, was important to the story. It showed, you know, how the Mandalorian clearly does not want to be taking care of the child.
Right.
And who wouldn't?
And there's nowhere for them to hide.
There's nowhere for them to hide. So, like, it kind of puts an urgency in it that we now know they can't go stay anywhere.
Yeah.
For any length of time. And it kind of reaffirms the relationship that they have between the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. Episode 5, they're like, oh, we got into a shootout. We go down and get fixed. I go do this job. And, oh, wait, the person you're helping is really going to find out who you are, and it's going to be a big old thing. But nothing's going to come of it.
I think if my timeline, if my Twitter timeline is any indication, this was probably the least well-received episode of the season so far. I was indifferent to it. And I'm confused, because I could swear I've seen marketing material with Gina Carano and Ming-Na Wen sharing, like, a scene together. So, like, was that just kind of like a red herring, or is that kind of like a spoiler that she's going to be, that she's not really dead? I don't know, but, like, I swear I've seen marketing material with them together. I'm just... Episode 6 will redeem itself.
I hope so. Because I didn't hate it. Like you, said, I'm also indifferent to it, but it was definitely the biggest letdown for me of all of the episodes thus far.
Yeah. Like... I mean, like, okay, I know Ming-Na Wen isn't, like, an Oscar-winning, like, actor. Like, but still, come on, it's Ming-Na Wen. Like...
I mean... She's a Disney princess a badass agent.
Yeah, I am pretty sure that, like, the Venn diagram of, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans and, like, Star Wars fans is, like, pretty much a circle. So, like, if you get her, like, on your show, you've got to, like, you have to use her.
She might not be a massive name in the acting world, but, like, she has a very substantial following.
Yes. In this, like, very fandom. So, like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Utilize it.
Hopefully next week we'll be saying happier things about the show.
Hopefully we get more Baby Yoda.
Oh, Baby Yoda.
I felt episode 5 was Baby Yoda light.
Yeah, there needed to be more Baby Yoda.
Unrelated note, something I've recently started to do again is I started rewatching the Clone Wars series.
Okay.
I got to about, like, episode 8 season one before I realized, oh shit, there's a movie that technically goes before it that I've never actually watched.
You've never watched the movie?
No.
Have you since then watched the movie?
I started it last night. A lot of things make sense.
If you approach this as like, all right, it's a Star Wars movie, like you're probably going to be disappointed.
I've seen the Clone Wars show.
Yeah, so like if you approach it as like it's three episodes of the Clone Wars, like you're going to be fine. Are you doing the chronological rewatch? Like there's a list on StarWars.com of like what the episodes are chronologically. They're not, no. Yeah, I, most of them, it's not, the show is not nearly as out of order as, like, people want to make it out to be, but, like, there is a chronological list on StarWars.com. I think the Clone Wars movie would actually go between, like, episodes 3 and 4. Because, like, if you know this, like, in the first episodes, like, Ahsoka's not in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I always kind of got really confused because of the first couple of episodes, she's not a thing, and then she just appears.
Yeah.
And nobody makes a big
Who
deal,
are you?
Anakin has a Padawan all of a sudden.
The Battle of Christophsis, like, sequence in that movie is incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. One of the things that I think I kind of laugh at the most in that entire movie is it's Jabba the Hutt's son. So at some point in time, Jabba the Hutt procreated.
Yeah. Which is even grosser than the thought of like Palpatine procreating. If, spoiler alert, Rey ends up being his granddaughter.
How old was Jabba the Hutt then, do you think, and when Leia kills him?
Well, let's, I'm just going to go ahead and Google life expectancy of a Hutt.
There's some ugly looking motherfuckers.
People have Googled the life expectancy of some pretty interesting things. They are capable of living over almost a thousand years. So, I mean, like, Jabba could have been, like, a young guy when Leia killed him, like, still.
So then, I guess my second question is, apparently he was a B'Amor monk.
Jabba the Hutt was a monk?
Apparently.
Where are you reading that?
Wikipedia.
That's what told me that they lived to be almost 1,000 years old.
So, hang on.
I mean, if he lived the full life as a Hutt, I mean, I'm sure he's had some interesting experiences. I want to find out. I want to know if there was ever any, like, Force-sensitive Hutts.
Oh, God, could you imagine? How would they hold the lightsaber?
I'm sure they would... I'm guessing they would fight with their minds.
But I feel like... Oh, my God, apparently there was.
Beldorian? Oh, he's got a lightsaber. Yep. Okay, so this is in Legends.
So in the old canon, there was.
Yeah. He was a Jedi.
He was apparently also a hermaphrodite.
Well, he was a... Oh, he fell to the dark side and was killed by Leia. Huh. She just kills all the Hutts, doesn't she?
She's a Hutt Slayer.
Oh, man. Let's just leave this one in Legends where it belongs.
It's kind of gross looking, honestly. Like it's rough. I could do without seeing it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that Leia apparently has a yellow lightsaber.
He has a purple lightsaber.
Well, that just needs to stay in Legends because only one person gets a purple lightsaber, and that's Mace Windu.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think we've gone on a wild enough ride.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith Giggles Pod. Krista, you want to tell people where they can find you?
I am also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
All right, and then you can check us out on iTunes, the Google Play Store, and Spreaker.com. Thank you for listening. Bye.